So once we got it clear this morning that we weren't going to Switzerland, as some over these months have said to us that we're going to Sweden, I wonder what your initial reaction was. Or maybe when you heard it announced that former pastor from Coleraine was coming to speak about mission work in Sweden. Was this your response? Seriously, Sweden? Does Sweden really need missionaries? Or maybe you think, does Europe really need missionaries? Maybe there's lots of other places in the world that we might think of as needing missionaries. I have a poster up in my study, and it says across the top, it's focusing particularly in Europe, but it says the need for the gospel is great. And it gives some statistics down the side that really help to focus on the need for the gospel in Europe. It says if the world shrank to 100 people, 8 of those people, that's 8%, I know, but best to think in terms of people. The world's population shrank to 100 people, 8 of those people would claim to be evangelical Christians. So where would those 8 live? Well, it's estimated that 3 of them would live in Africa, 3 would live in America, somewhere in the continent of America, 2 of them would live in Asia. Now, I was an English teacher and my maths was never very good, but maybe you could help me out. How many would that leave in Europe? If 3 were in Africa and 3 were in America and 2 were in Asia, out of the 8, that makes... Yeah, that means none would live in Europe. This was the picture in Europe in 1900, and you can spot Sweden up there in yellow. And as we were saying this morning, it was estimated in 1900 that there were over 25% of the population that would have claimed to be evangelical Christians. This is the picture 100 years later. It's very different in 2000. In fact, it's very different, especially right across Northern Europe, areas that the Reformation had swept across all those years ago. Now things are drastically different. That's 2000. It's estimated that today in Sweden, having gone from over 25% who would have professed to be evangelical Christians, the number is now somewhere between 1 and 2%. I was over in Albania with someone who's out in mission work from our church in Coleraine last year, and he was saying similar figure in Albania that was closed for so many years under the communist dictator there, and he said it's between 1 and 2% evangelical Christians. I came back and I was saying this to my brother Ivan, who's pastor down in Cavan, and he said yes. He said it's around the same percentage in the Republic of Ireland. That's really shocking, isn't it? I'm here talking about Sweden this evening, but actually when we think about the need for the gospel, what an indictment that is of the church today in Northern Ireland, that just a few miles down the road. And we're singing about what grace is mine and all of God's grace to us. Yet if we think of the words of Psalm 67, and may God be gracious to us and make his face to shine upon us. Why? So that his saving power might be known amongst all nations. God's grace to us wonderfully saves us, brings us to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, but so that we will then go and make him known. What a challenge Europe, and especially Northern Europe, is an area that we consider many times to have already been reached. If you want a snapshot of the church in Sweden, just hearing a little bit about this lady would tell you something, tell you quite a lot about the church today in Sweden. I'm going to give you a contrast with this lady, because going back into the last century, there was a bishop in Gothenburg by the name of Bo Yeerts. He was known for a strongly Bible-centered ministry throughout that area of Gothenburg. I came across him in some of his writings that had been translated into English. He'd written a series of stories speaking about the effect of the Bible in transforming people's lives. The Swedish title is Stengrunden, or Stony Ground, speaking about the human heart. Actually, in English, the title that's used is The Hammer of God, speaking about the power of God's word to break the stony ground and to bring new life. Shortly before Bo Yeerts died in 1998, he looked at the church around him in Sweden, and he said, "Never before has a church been given so much and wasted it. There is in the church today a sickness unto death, and that is the doubt that we possess the truth." And that doubt has actually become a pretty fixed conviction that God's word is not sufficient, that it is not clear, that it is not authoritative, and that it is no longer necessary. Go forward into the 21st century, and Eva Brun is the current bishop of Stockholm, a practicing lesbian whose partner is also an ordained minister in the Church of Sweden. I heard her name on the BBC News back in the autumn, and the story that was being told about her was concerning a church in the center, church building in the center of Stockholm, one of the best known of the old church buildings. And she had proposed taking all Christian symbols out of it, no matter what we think about Christian symbols and buildings, but removing the cross as well, and putting in a sign to say which way Mecca was. Now you might say, well, that's the Lutheran Church of Sweden, what was until a number of years ago, the state church. But actually, it's pretty indicative of the church in general in Sweden. If you were to go onto the website tonight of the Baptist Church in Sweden, a Baptist church that a few years ago joined with two other denominations, and they're now called Ecumenia Church. If you go onto their website, and there's a question and answer there on their website, and they're asked what their position is on same-sex marriage, and they say, "We don't have a position." What their position is on abortion, they don't have a position. They're asked, "Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to God?" Their answer is, "Traditionally, most Christians have said so. And Jesus did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life." But it doesn't say how God might relate to other faiths. That's the Baptist Church in Sweden. What has gone wrong? Well, I hope you'll see between those two contrasting characters, Bo Yeerts and Eva Brun, that actually what Bo Yeerts said has happened in the church. God's word has been abandoned. We believe that God does his work by his Spirit through his word. And that is, the Spirit works supernaturally upon us. Our minds are opened to understand, just as the minds of the disciples were, their understanding was open to understand, and our hearts are softened, hearts that are hard. Our hearts are softened to believe, and new life comes through the word of life. We put our faith in the Lord Jesus. But if you put out God's word, if you begin by sidelining it, doubting whether it contains the truth, and bring other things in, of course, to take its place, then maybe we shouldn't expect anything else to happen. If it was a word problem that was the root cause, we believe, of the decline in Sweden, and you can see that today, we believe what Sweden needs is to get back to the Bible. Pure and simple, to get back to the Bible. Sweden needs a new reformation. Sweden needs Bible-centered churches. It needs new churches, actually, to be planted. It does need, yes, renewal of existing churches, but it needs new churches to be planted. Bible-centered churches, Bible-centered preaching, Christ-centered preaching, not moral, give you a foot up the ladder, but Christ-centered preaching. Sweden needs a renewed confidence in God to do his work by his Spirit through his word. You say, well, That's something of the need. And maybe you were aware of some of that in terms of the need in Northern Europe. But maybe another question is not just what's the need, but why you? And we would ask ourselves the question, why us? Why are we going to Sweden to be involved in mission and gospel work in Sweden? Maybe you wouldn't say it, but maybe you think it's maybe a little bit irresponsible to take your family away to a situation like that, to where schools have, instead of SUs, have LGBT clubs and take part in the Pride Parade through the centre of Gothenburg. So why are we going to expose our family to all of that? Psalm 48 is helpful just in explaining or beginning to explain a little bit of why we're going. This has really been a motto text for us over the years. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels. It's really talking about a stock take. Take stock of God's work amongst God's people. See what God is doing so that you may tell the next generation of the greatness of God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, as this psalm begins, so that you may tell the next generation that this God is our God forever and ever. He will guide us forever. And really, as we walk around, as we look at God's grace in our lives, and especially as we look back, we can see how God has been directing our paths and faithfully guiding us in His way. So often it's like that, isn't it? People look for guidance from God, and they're often looking for things to jump out at them, or surprising signs, or actually one of the simplest things we can do is look back and take stock and see what God has been doing. Look back and look around and see what God is doing and ask how He would have us to be part of that. Looking back, we can see how God has directed us in two ways, just to share with you. As we look back in family, for a start, we can see how God has been directing our paths for this time in going to Sweden. Andrea, my wife, is half Swedish. Now, she's also half Tyrone, so all is not lost. I've been telling, going around the deputation, I heard one of our girls saying one day, I'm a quarter Swedish. I said, hang on, girls, you're three quarters Tyrone. And I think that's something to maybe be a little bit prouder of, but there you are. Andrea's half Swedish. Some of you will have known Alistair and Ulla when they were in the church here in Lisburn. But just think about God's direction in that. I mean, if over 40 years ago, when two young fellas from Northern Ireland went on holiday to Spain, if they hadn't been staying in that hotel where this Christian family from small land, Jönköping, if they hadn't been staying in the same hotel, and if said two fellas hadn't got chatting to two Swedish sisters, and now, I know there's people already thinking about booking holidays to Spain, but you can leave that until later. But if that hadn't happened, well, I wouldn't be standing here talking about going to Sweden tonight. Just one way that we can see that God has been directing. That's why over the years, we've been married almost 16 years. That's why over these years, we've traveled backwards and forwards to Sweden on holiday and visited relatives and met people there and talked about the church and the situation. And all of that has brought a growing and a deepening awareness of the spiritual darkness in Sweden, and also very much of the decline in Bible-centered ministry in Sweden. There are lots of churches still, even though it's estimated that one church closes its door every week in Sweden, but there are still lots of churches, and there are lots of churches doing lots of good things. There just aren't many churches doing gospel things. And that's something that we've really been struck by over the years. I remember us speaking with Andrea's morfar. That's morfar is mother's father. I've said a little bit of Swedish for you this evening. That means that you've got a more as well, mother's mother. And Andrea's more was 96, just a few weeks back, still living in Jönköping. And we were speaking with Andreas Moore. By the way, you have a far and a far more as well. That's father's father and father's mother. So it's all very logical. I remember us speaking with Andreas Moore far and him telling us of the rich evangelical heritage that they had in that area of Sweden around Jönköping, small land. It's not just a place in IKEA you leave the children, small land. It's a place in Sweden. And it was known as the Jerusalem of Sweden because of its strong Christian influence. But I remember him, and this is years back, I remember him describing with quite a lot of emotion how now it was like Jerusalem at the end of the exile, and the city was in ruins. He was a godly man. He was a real man of prayer, and his heart was broken as he looked at his area and at the country around him and the hardness of their hearts. I remember in one of those visits, he gave me a copy of Spurgeon's Treasury of David. It was in Swedish. And he remembered him saying, I like Spurgeon. Spurgeon is very good. And I remember him giving it to me, and I said, Morfar, it's no good to me. I can't speak Swedish. And he insisted that I take it. So maybe that will be, well, after a little bit of language study, maybe we'll get round to some Spurgeon. Another memory over the years that maybe helps to emphasize the need in Sweden. It was one of those early trips. I think Emily was a toddler at the time, and we were staying in the north of Stockholm in an apartment belonging to Andrea's uncle. And we looked up to see in the Sunday, was there a church nearby that we could go to? And we went on to the Baptist Association website in Sweden, and we discovered there was a Baptist church quite close to us. And we went along there, and It was small, yes. There was singing. Most of the singing was from the front, not so much congregational. But there was almost no preaching, just a few minutes of preaching. The Bible was just about opened. And yet there was about 10 minutes or more of time to light candles. People could come up to the front and light a candle and say a prayer. It was just empty. It was dead. There was no message. There was no hope. A few days later, we went out on a boat out on Stockholm's archipelago, hundreds of islands lying off the coast of Stockholm. And we went to one of the best-known islands, Sandhamn, and we had a beautiful day there, and the sun was shining, and we got back on the boat to come home, and the boat was just pulling out from the quayside. And there was a restaurant on the quayside, and there was a band playing outside, and lots of young people. And through the clear summer's air, we could hear them as they sang at the tops of their voices, "We're on the highway to hell." The tragedy is they probably were. And churches like the one we had visited on the Sunday didn't seem to have anything to stop them in their tracks. It was a growing awareness of the deep spiritual need, and that was one of the ways that God was directing and guiding us, and it came through family and how God had just directed in that. The other way, just to share with you, was in terms of ministry. For me, it was initially beginning in Banbridge Baptist Church, all those maybe about 12 years ago, having taught English in Kilkeel. I was going to say teaching English as a foreign language in Kilkeel, and some people who were in Kilkeel could maybe smile at that one. But just God's direction in that and opening up the opportunity to come and to be assistant there to Victor Maxwell. And over the years, just those convictions about the Bible needing to be at the center of all that we do, and actually the need to preach Christ in all of Scripture, and not the Bible is not to be moralized with. It's not to give us a foot up the ladder. We're not kind of halfway up and just need to get a little bit further up. Actually, we need the life-changing, life-giving message of the Lord Jesus if we're to have a certain hope for eternity. And those convictions been developed over those years, and then going along, having the opportunity to go to Cornhill in London, that was really focusing on expository preaching and really firming up those principles for us, and then being involved in preaching conferences, getting together with others and trying to encourage and equip in how we, what we believe about the Bible and how we open it up and how we teach it, how we share it one-to-one, how we share it one to a few, how we preach it one to many, and not imposing the meaning that we want to be there or trying to squeeze something into it, but exposing the meaning that God has placed there and coming under the authority of his word. And over the years, can see how God has been at work in those ministry experiences. And then God's direction coming up to Coleraine and having the privilege of pastoring there over the last 7.5 years. And one of the things in Coleraine that's been a particular blessing to us has been gospel partnership. It's not always easy. But it's been a wonderful blessing to us starting with the gospel and what we believe about the gospel, and then asking other churches in the town and saying, if this is where you are, then let's partner together in the gospel. Having a mission together, Passion for Life mission together. And just last weekend, we had our first Bible weekend with Craig Dyer from Christianity Explored, and just seeing both the need and the privilege of partnering together with other like-minded evangelicals. So different experiences that we can see how God was at work in us. I mean, Sweden needs gospel partnership because the church is small, the evangelical church is small, and there's small fellowships scattered across wide areas. How important it is to be coming together and encouraging one another in the gospel. Over the years, we've prayed about Sweden many times and considered often how God might use us in being part of meeting the needs that were becoming so obvious to us in Sweden. And one of the questions as we considered the possibility of mission in Sweden really came from something that John Woodside said when he was doing a Bible weekend in Coleraine. John Woodside, who was with the church in Kilkenny and then latterly in Drogheda. I remember him saying that a prayer for him and his wife in coming to Kilkenny and then Drogheda, their prayer was, Lord, what are you already doing here? What are you already doing here? And do you want us to be part of it? That was very much our prayer. And we had seen much of what God was already beginning to do in Sweden, but how could we be part of that? To be honest, we had come to a point after making different inquiries, and all of those inquiries had just come up against a brick wall, and we'd come to the point back 2013 of recognizing that maybe it's not going to be for us. Emily was just starting high school, and we thought, well, we can't really move now, and family will be too old for learning a new language, and we were taking an assistant on in Coleraine, and he was moving into the manse, and we had sold our house in Banbridge, and we bought a house in Coleraine, and we were moving into that during that year, and we felt that was it. But then in July 2014, different things happened. One of them was something that touched us really deeply, a very close friend, some of you may have known, Brian Ferguson. Brian was just a tremendous partner and brother in the Lord Jesus in the church in Coleraine. And Brian had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And I remember that July when Brian came round to tell me. And it was as if a new set of lenses had been put in. I'd been reading a book by Paul Tripp called Forever, and thinking about how this life is not destination. This life is preparation, and how forever should change everything in terms of our outlook and how we see life and our friends and people around us and how we view our ministry. And God used that, the most difficult of circumstances, to really challenge us. Just a few days later, after hearing that news, we had an approach, an email, that brought an approach to consider a ministry opportunity in Sweden. We traveled to Gothenburg in December 2014 to explore this ministry opportunity. And actually, in the end, we didn't feel it was the right opportunity for us. But it was while we were in Gothenburg. This is a picture of Gothenburg in the sunshine and one of the trams. It's while we were in Gothenburg that we went along to a home group study in this little church. It's called Gothenburg International Baptist Church, although the ministry is mostly in Swedish. There's about 25 to 30 people who meet there, about 13 members in the church. They meet in a place called Kortedala. This is Kortedala Square. It's an area that is predominantly immigrant, and a large percentage of that people coming from a Muslim background from all over the world. Naturally, the membership of the church and the makeup of the church also reflects that international flavor. Out of those 25 to 30 people, there are 10 different nationalities. And right from the start, Gothenburg International Church seemed to be part of the answer to that question. Lord, what are you already doing here? And also, little bits of how could we be part of it? We met the pastor, who's called Daniel Naren, who's a Swede. He's married to Hannah, who's an American. They met while working in the Middle East with OM. They met in Syria, first of all, and then they worked together in Tunisia before, at a time when missionaries were being put out of Tunisia and they were ejected from the country and came back to Sweden, and this little fellowship was planted, independent fellowship was planted just about 3 or 4 years ago. And as we spoke with Daniel, we talked to him that night at the small group. We met up with him and his wife again the next day and discovered that he's someone who's very much committed to the Bible being right at the center of the church and to expository preaching within the church and reaching out with the gospel, clearly reaching out with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Also seeking to bring together other like-minded pastors for training and equipping in gospel ministry. This is one of the conferences. They rent a local church building and have had this conference over the last couple of summers. That was me speaking at it last summer. That's a preaching conference. Now, lots of others come just to be taught from the Bible. They're really hungry to hear from God's word. But some pastors come from different parts of Sweden to be equipped and to encourage one another in their preaching. Then through Daniel, I also became aware of the work of a group called Reformedia, who are publishing good Christian books, especially aimed at pastors, and publishing these in Swedish. They're linking up with the Gospel Coalition in the States, and they've got some sponsorship with that. And if your Swedish isn't too good, as mine isn't, I'll help translate. The one on the far side is What is the Gospel? By Greg Gilbert, something not to be assumed at all in Sweden today. And the one on the right-hand side, Mark Devers, Mark's of a healthy church. And we're starting to see what God was already doing in Sweden. One of our questions as we came back, very excited, daunted, yes, but also excited about how we could see God directing in this. But one of our questions was, who could we partner with in going to Sweden? And we came back and we made different inquiries. And then we were introduced to the work of this mission, Crosslinks. We saw their motto pretty much straight away when we went onto their website, God's Word to God's World. And we discovered that the things that we'd been challenged about and the need for Bible-centered churches and new churches to be planted and discipleship within the local church and equipping and preparing of pastors to rightly handle the word of truth and then ascending out to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It was very much what Crosslinks was about. We were also encouraged that they said very clearly that they were not a mission agency. They said the church is the mission agency. And what they were doing was facilitating partnerships between churches and taking on mission partners in order to meet the needs within local churches. We believe that as God was directing in this, it was the right time to submit an application to Crosslinks. And after a series of interviews, we were accepted for Crosslinks. I have to say, through all of those months, right from summer 2014, right through until we were accepted in summer 2015, the church in Coleraine has been right beside us. The elders in the church have prayed with us, have advised us, have talked, have listened, and it's just been a tremendous testimony to leadership within the local church. And I would encourage you, if there's something that you're considering, or something that God has been speaking to you about, you believe he's been directing you, to come and talk to the leadership in the local church. God's work in God's world is a church work, as people are brought in, brought to faith in the Lord Jesus, as they're built up within the local church, and then as they're sent out to go and plant other churches and to make disciples. That's a whistle-stop tour of what God has been doing in our lives. But what next? What next for us? Well, it's now less than 8 weeks before we'll be getting on the plane for Gothenburg. 2nd of June is our date for going. 18th of May is our date for moving out of our house. We can give thanks that our house has now been sold, and we're moving out on the 18th of May. We still don't have anywhere to live. That's maybe something that you could pray for. I was looking at an apartment this past week in Gothenburg, and we've submitted an offer. And we'll probably hear tomorrow if that has been successful or not. The man from the haulage company said to me just a week and a half ago, "And what's the forwarding address?" And I said, "Well, we don't know yet, but there will be one. It's Gothenburg, anyway. But please pray for us in that, and just the right place where we can effectively serve God. We want somewhere not too far from school, but also close in proximity to where the church meets in Cortadala. Give thanks with us as well for schools that God has provided for our three girls. As we've been going around in deputation, I've mentioned this and asked people to pray for this. And fairly early on, Grace and Alice, who are at the front here, are going to be helping me with something in a moment. They receive places in a bilingual school in the center of Gothenburg. So half of their schooling will be English and half will be in Swedish. But until a week and a half ago, we didn't have any school for Emily. But we give thanks to God that in his time, he has provided that. I was able to visit the school on Wednesday morning past. And we're thanking God for his directing in that. Actually, he taught us so much in the waiting time. It wasn't wasted time, but he had to teach us again and again and again that he was a God worth trusting. What is it that Hudson Taylor said? We can trust God too little, but we can never trust God too much. Pray that we would continue to trust him as we look for accommodation there in Gothenburg. Pray for the other practicalities of the move as well, especially saying goodbye to family. That is difficult. It's difficult on our side, and it's also difficult on the side of family. So please pray for family as well. Some things that we're planning, God willing, to be involved in Sweden, thinking of areas of ministry mainly. I should say language. I was able to visit my new school as well on Thursday morning. Andre and I are both going to be in full-time language study from the beginning of August. So back to school, and I will be learning Swedish as a foreign language. We're also going to be involved in the ministry of Gothenburg International Baptist Church and working alongside Daniel there in the church. He's a little preaching group within the church, and there's tremendous potential for planting out from this church as well. And you could really stick a pin just anywhere into Gothenburg, and of course into other cities as well, and say, that needs a gospel church, needs a gospel church there and there and there and there and there, and pray that God would continue to be at work in those situations. Pray for work in the area. As I've said, it's a large percentage of Muslims within the area. That's a whole new challenge for us. And we've had some opportunities in preparation for that, have been able to take some courses, but we just feel so inadequate in that. And yet we know that God is sovereign. And as he has directed us, so he will equip us. Uncle Victor was reading that verse this morning. God's grace is sufficient for us. And we believe, absolutely believe, actually for us and for you. You could apply this to yourself. God is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient for us for all that he's called us to do. No matter where we are, no matter what our situation is, God's grace is sufficient for us for all that he's called us to do. And we believe that. Another area that we're planning to be involved in is trying to develop a network of pastors and develop the preaching conference ministry. Crosslinks is something they call schools of biblical training that really are weeks of training in expository preaching. So, for example, taking 1 week on preaching Christ in the Old Testament, for example. I was doing something like that when this photograph was taken here last summer. There are others dotted across Sweden that we've been in touch with who are really hungry for this teaching and training, and pray that we would be active and available to God in this. The literature work, Reformedia, the little publishing group, is another area that we've been asked to be involved in. And please pray for that and how that develops. It's been focused mainly for pastors at the moment, but there's such potential for that being broadened out to ordinary believers right across Sweden. A fourth area, if you could pray for us in as well, if you've been at Seaview Guesthouse Camp Centre in Kilkeel, you'll recognise the photograph there. I spent many, many summers from 8 years old going to Good News Club Camp in Kilkeel. And we've a real burden about Bible camps for children and young people. As we're connecting with pastors and churches across Sweden, what an opportunity to bring together children and young people to tell the next generation that this is God, our God. And when we give our whole selves to him, give our lives to him, he will guide us forever. So please pray for us in that. We have a friend, some of you may know Neil Harkness, who's working with CEF in Gothenburg. And we've talked a lot to Neil about how we can partner together in children's and youth Bible camp ministry. We'd love you to come to Sweden, and not all at once. We're just looking for a small apartment, so we won't have room for you maybe to come physically. Maybe some of you will, but we'd love you to come with us in partnership, to partner with us. It's wonderful when you read the book of Philippians and how Paul speaks about gospel partnership. Thank you for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Together, he recognizes they're partakers of God's grace. And as they've been partakers of God's grace, so they're partners together in the gospel. Not many of them came to be with Paul in his imprisonment. I mean, Epaphroditus made it, but not many of them came physically. And yet they were partners together. They were praying for him. They were supporting him in practical ways. And we'd love you to partner with us. You probably got one of the profiles this morning. If you didn't get one this morning, I'm sure there'd be some of them available this evening. And if you'd like to partner with us in prayer, our first prayer letter has just come out within the last few weeks, and there's a little form inside. You can send that through and receive regularly our prayer news. If you'd like to partner with us financially, we have 100% of our support to raise. We're currently about 60%. And so we've still quite some way to go in not all that long a time. But thinking about it positively, about a month ago we were 40%. So it's moving in the right direction. It isn't down to 20. It's up to 60% now. But maybe God would have someone here, or one or two, and the opportunity would be there for you to partner with us financially. If you'd like to talk to us about that in any way, or about how you can partner in prayer with us, or if you have any other questions about the ministry, then please do come and talk to us after. Pray for us as a family. Pray that through all that we do and all that God does through us, that he would get the glory. It's an old missionary, Samuel Swemmer, who I think was an old Keswick speaker, was known as the apostle to Islam. And he said that the chief end of mission is not the salvation of man, but the glory of God. Yes, it is for the salvation of man, so that I would be saved, so that you would be saved, so that through us coming to know and love the Lord Jesus and going to tell others, that those of all nations would be saved. But ultimately, the chief end of mission is so that God would get the glory that he is supremely and alone worthy of.